Morning Ireland, 13 minutes past 8, and good morning to Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue.
And good morning to you and your listeners, Áine.
We were talking to the ESRI's Dr. Conor O'Toole earlier in the programme about their latest economic forecast for the Irish economy, still growing, effectively full employment, but storm clouds ahead and tariff uncertainty. They were factoring a 10% USA tariff base into their projections. Are you doing the same in terms of budget preparations?
Yes, we have. We published an alternative scenario for how our economy could develop a number of months ago. And in that, we laid out a kind of a baseline scenario if tariffs were not permanently applied. And then we also identified an alternative scenario in which tariffs become a more permanent feature. The ESRI report today highlights that we have a record number of people at work. We have public finances that have a surplus and our economy is still growing when many others are not. But it also identifies challenges which we are approaching from a position of strength, but will require choices.
And your former colleague, Michael McGrath, the EU Commissioner, seems to be talking about the 10% ballpark. That seems to be where things are at the moment. Do you have any clarity as to what's going to happen on pharma?
So that is not yet clear. And the reason that is not yet clear is President Trump's administration is conducting an assessment of the life science and pharmaceutical sector. What we are doing with the European Commission and through the European Commission is making the case for supply chains, making the case for medicine being made and available across the world, and the role that Ireland can play in doing that in an affordable way. But what we remain to see yet is what the United States assessment will be, which is why it's important, therefore, that we have a surplus in our public finances and we have so many people at work, because these are the kind of challenges that we could need to confront. But I have confidence that we can do that.
And indeed, you're talking about the surplus in our public finances, but the ESRI, and they're only the latest august body to warn about the over-reliance on corporation tax. Seamus Coffey from IFAC saying recently there's 28 to 30 billion in our corporate tax base. That could be plus or minus 15 billion in just a couple of years, 4 or 5 years. And the difficulty, as far as the ESRI were describing to us earlier on, is at the moment a lot of that corporation tax is actually subsidising windfall taxes, subsidising day-to-day spending.
Well, some of it is going into current spending, as most taxes are. But this is the reason why for years I've been acknowledging this as a risk. And for years I've been making the case for our public finances being in surplus, and I've returned them to surplus twice. And this and the last government have done the same. The very reason we have a surplus of just under 9 billion euro is we believe we should not be spending a share of our corporate tax receipts that might not be available to us permanently. And the very reason we have two funds set up in which we're putting this money into, we're going to have 15 billion euro in these funds by the end of the year, is that if we do see a big change in corporate tax receipts in the future, first, we have a budget surplus to absorb that change. And second, if that budget surplus is not adequate, we then have money set aside in a fund called the Future Ireland Fund to help us transition to a lower level of corporate tax revenue. So this is the reason why we are running budget surpluses, and I've made the case for it now in every budget I've done.
Will there be a lower share of corporation tax, windfall taxes, subsidising day-to-day spending in Budget 26? Will you contemplate sticking to the 5% spending increase limit that the Fiscal Advisory Council wants you to?
So firstly, on the 5% figure, which is the figure that I set there in 2020, if we had stuck with the 5% figure at a time in which inflation was 15%, I guarantee you few people would be praising me for doing it, and we would have seen living standards, confidence and jobs in our economy go down at a point in which our surplus would have grown. That would not have been right for our economy. It would not have been right for our society either.
Okay.
In terms of choices that the government will make in relation to current spending, this is what myself and Minister Chambers are working on at the moment. Minister Chambers is leading a very important piece of work in relation to capital investment in our country's future. He and I are also working on what the right level of spending should be for our economy overall for the years ahead. And when we've made that decision, we'll then be able to recommend what is the right level of day-to-day spending as well. but we will still be running budget surpluses at the end of that.
Because we're told there won't be any cost of living supports coming in Budget 26, but Mary Lou MacDonald, the Sinn Féin leader, asking the Taoiseach if he does a weekly shop, I don't know if you do, Minister, but over the last 5 years, lamb up 48%, sausages 21%, chicken up from 4.99 3 years ago to €11 now. Our energy bills about, you know, amongst the most expensive in Europe, going up 10%. So people are having to absorb all of this, and you're telling them there won't be the help from government this year. They've had the past couple of years.
So I'm absolutely well aware of the impact of the cost of living and what it means for so many people in our country, in our society. I see it and I experience that. I know the difficulty it poses for many, for very many in our country. But I do respectfully have to join up the two different questions you've just put to me. Earlier on in the interview, you said, pointed to the risks of using tax receipts that might not be permanent to fund permanent measures. And then you're then raising the prospect, or rather Sinn Féin are, of using tax receipts that might not always be available to us to fund permanent measures. And we shouldn't do that. What every budget has done is it finds different ways of helping with the cost of living. But I have to make the case again here today that the kind of measures that we've had in the past of €2.5 billion packages of that scale were in place when we had inflation of 5, 10, 15%. And we should not, and I believe will not repeat that again. But we will find other ways, budget by budget, and over 4 to 5 budgets instead, of helping with and responding back to the needs within our society.
This latest report from the ESRI, another downward forecast on housing delivery this year, 33,000, again, far short of government targets. The Taoiseach was saying yesterday that the 300,000 homes over the lifetime of this government, that pledge, is the North Star for government. Are we ever going to reach that star, given what we were hearing from, you know, all of these downward revisions and these reports, what we were hearing from David Murphy yesterday about, you know, concrete and sand shortages, what the Dáil was hearing about the impact on 4,775 childless children, about the impact on their childhood. So is that 300K, that North Star, are we going to reach that?
So it's because of every child who's homeless. It's because of every renter who's worried they mightn't be able to afford the rent. Every person who is worried they might never be able to own or afford a home, that we have to go all out to do all we can to deliver that target. Since 2016, we've delivered.
Is it doable or just a name?
I believe it is doable, but I know it will be demanding. Since 2016, we've built 200,000 more homes in our country. Since 2020 or 2021, a further 100,000 of those 200,000 homes have been built. We saw 60,000 homes commenced last year, but we know it's not enough. So what are the government going to do about it? We have done and will do three things. Firstly, the work that Jack Chambers is doing in better investing in our country's future.
So that's the infrastructure plan, and that's going to be critical to the housing plan. When are we going to see that infrastructure plan? Because there's been a lot of talk about it.
So that work is underway at the moment, and it will conclude in the coming weeks.
The aim, before the Dáil rises, there's about a month left.
The commitment that is laid out in our programme of government is that we ought to have that done by the middle of this year. So we were aiming to get this piece of work complete across July. It is because we have managed our public finances well, and we have so many people at work in our economy, that we have the ability to invest in our country's future in the way we are now committed to doing. But in addition to that, just let me quickly just make the case for other decisions that we have made. The important decision in relation to rent pressure zones, which is all about trying to lead to more homes being built. And then also the decisions
that are more expensive to the renter.
And we've acknowledged the trade-offs that are there, but we've put measures in place to protect those who are already renting. And the decisions that have been made with regard to planning law, doubling the number of people in a commission planola, changing our planning laws to bring greater stability and speed to how planning decisions are made.
The Housing for All plan, again, we've been waiting a long time on this revised Housing for All plan. The government went back to the drawing board on housing. Does that now get postponed until after this infrastructure plan? Is infrastructure the key actually now to delivering housing?
I'd see the two of them travelling together for the very reason you've just said to me, Áine. So many of the challenges we now have in building the higher level of homes is where we're going to be with electricity, with water, with our grid.
And well, we run out in 2 or 3 years, don't we?
But this is the reason why we are making the decision to prioritise investment in that form of infrastructure. And one of the reasons why we do face challenges is that if you have a growing population and a growing economy, it places a greater level of demand on the energy that we have available. And of course, we're also looking to change the nature of that energy as well. And that is why, thankfully, we're in a position to make these investments. And by getting the investment decisions right on infrastructure, that in turn is how we create the environment, along with what we're doing in planning, along with what other decisions that we have made to build more homes.
And the role of the local authorities?
The role of local authorities will always be critical. We're building more social homes, for example, than we have at any other point in the 1970s.
Well, it's about their targets, isn't it, in their individual housing plans and raising those.
And that is why the point that I made in relation to our planning law and the National Development Plan is so important, because the National Development Plan, and in particular the National Planning Framework, then creates the decision, the framework within which local authorities then decide, authority by authority, what they will deliver. But they want to do more and we want to see them do more.
So when will we see that?
Well, as I said, the two pieces of work will travel together. The aim of the government is to have that work complete by the middle of the year.
Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, saying the failure to agree on the review after this report on EU-Israel trade and the finding that Israel is in breach of the human rights aspects of the agreement, but still no agreement amongst European leaders. Taoiseach says that's a stain on the union.
So I listened to what the Taoiseach said earlier on about this, and he's right, I believe, in calling out the harm that this is doing to the ability of the West, the liberal democracies, to Europe, to make the case for issues that really matter here in the world. Ireland has been at the forefront of condemning what is happening in Gaza. We've been at the forefront of supporting the people of Gaza through the UNRWA programme, through access to food, to making the case for the recognition of the state of Palestine, and doing that here in Ireland.
And the central bank checks Israel bonds against the prospectus regulation.
That is exactly what they do. The narrow role they play is assessing the availability of Israeli bonds through the accuracy and legality of the prospectus under which those bonds are offered. But if I may just emphasise again, we have a Taoiseach, we have a Taoiseach who are at the forefront of making the case within the European Union for the EU responding back to what is happening in the Middle East and to the people of Gaza. And we haven't just talked, we've acted. But what we've done in recognising the state of Palestine and the many practical actions the government has now taken.
And on the practical actions, the Occupied Territories Bill has now gone to committee, but it doesn't include a ban on services. It only includes a ban on goods. The question remains, why should a settler, an Israeli settler who's got property in the occupied territories, be able to rent that out using Airbnb based here?
The Taoiseach, the government, in bringing forward the Occupied Territories Bill, that is a very clear sign of the actions that we are willing to take to act on our own at a national level to respond back to what is happening to the people of Gaza. Our continued preference is that this is done at an EU level, which is why the work the Taoiseach and Taoiseach are doing is so important. To deal with your specific question in relation to services, our advice, and we do not believe it can be done in a legal way, we're seeking further advice in relation to this at the moment, and the Taoiseach and the government have said we will consider it at that point. But the advice and the assessment that we have is clear, and we don't help anybody by making a commitment to do something that we believe can't actually be done.
All right. We'll finish the interview there, Minister. But I know before you go, you want to talk to Mary's going to be talking to Donal Ryan later in the programme about his latest literary award.
Absolutely. The Orwell Prize for Political Fiction. Have you read his latest?
Thanks for letting me end on a lighter note here. I've read both those two books, The Spinning Heart and Heart Be at Peace, and they are masterpieces. And at a time in which we're so aware of the darkness and the challenge of the world, and we're all aware of the really bad things that are happening, how blessed are we to have a writer that can lighten the heart and wiser, make us all a bit wiser than a Donal Ryan. And I am just so delighted to see that has been recognised now beyond our own shores. We're lucky to have him and we're lucky to have his writings.
We certainly are. Well said. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to Donal a little later on. That's the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue.